The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told his companions, who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and been seen by her, they did not believe. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them walking along on their way to the country. They returned and told the others, but they didn't believe them either. But later, as the 11 were at table, he appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised. He said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Jesus Christ.
There's something that's been happening in all the readings this week. Basically a fourfold pattern. First, total desperation, lack of belief on the part of the apostles. Then Jesus appears, teaches them, explains how everything that had been foretold that would happen to him had happened, and to allow them, in a sense, to see him, to touch him, to recognize that he was alive. Third is that they would then respond with faith, finally. And fourth, he would send them out on a mission to share that Easter joy. Now, we'd been going by the blow-by-blow accounts in Matthew, John, and Luke. Today we have Mark. And Mark explains basically what Jesus did before he started them on that journey of faith. He rebuked them. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and what led to their lack of faith, which is what he described was their hardness of heart, because they didn't really want to believe yet, as silly as that sounds. Today, St. Mark summarized what had been occurring. We heard about Mary Magdalene's appearances, the appearances of Jesus to Mary Magdalene on Monday and Tuesday, and she ran as an apostle to the apostles, to share them this good news. St. Mark tells us that when she found them, they were mourning and weeping. They didn't believe what Jesus had said to them at least three recorded occasions, that he would rise on the third day. They had no hope whatsoever. They didn't believe what the prophets had told either, that he would suffer, but then he would rise. And St. Mark tells us, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they didn't believe. As if Mary Magdalene was a liar or a hallucinator. Why would she torture anybody else like that? But then, Easter Sunday dusk evening, the two disciples who had just ran 7 miles uphill from Emmaus to say that Jesus had appeared to them walking on the way, and they had recognized him in the breaking of the bread when he celebrated the Eucharist in their home. They returned and told the disciples, but they did not believe them either. Because again, their hearts were hardened. And then Jesus himself appeared. He rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised. Now we can say, bad apostles, 2,000 years ago, why were they so slow to believe after all the words and then after the witnesses? But it's the same way for us today. Pope Francis said in his beautiful apostolic exhortation, which I'm sure you've all read because you're good Catholics, the joy of the gospel, because he wrote it to you, and you would never ignore a letter sent to you directly by the Holy Father. In the same way that if the Holy Father called you at your house and said, "Pope Francis is on the phone," you'd say, "Take a message." Right? He's written you, so I know you've read it. And you remember inside, that he says that there are many Catholics who live as if they're always coming back from a funeral, who behave as if life is one long Lent without an Easter. We all know these people. I don't mean to be critical, but their husband died 80 years ago, and they're still looking backward rather than forward to an eternal embrace with God and hopefully with their loved one. They're always focusing on picking their scabs, their wounds from the past, rather than bringing them to Jesus to be healed. They're always obsessing about what they don't have than the blessings that God has given them. They're always looking at the glass and finding what's empty in it rather than what's there. There are so many Catholics like this who don't give any sign that Jesus is risen from the dead in their own life. St. Paul told us on Easter Sunday morning, if you have been raised with Christ, and as an objective fact, we have been. But we have to subjectively align ourselves with that objective fact. If you have been raised with Christ, then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And many of us, like that woman with the back problems in the gospel, is just constantly leaning over, looking at the ground. We're not looking above. Our hearts are constantly sunken rather than lifted up to the Lord. It's still a very present circumstance, where because of our hardness of hearts, where we think we're defined by our wounds, we're defined by our problems, rather than defined by the solution that Jesus has given, we continue to live like everybody else, mourning and weeping, old Adam, rather than allowing the new Adam to raise all of us from the dead. Every single little part of us. There are parts of us that, as Pope Francis likes to say, are still very much in the tomb. And Jesus wants to raise them from the dead. We see that contrast between those who have been raised by Jesus and those who haven't. Those of hearts lifted to the Lord and those of hardened hearts in today's first reading. The chief priests, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Pharisees, the other members of the Sanhedrin arrest Peter and John. These are the people who brutally murdered Jesus, got false witnesses against him, lied straight to Pilate's face in the courtyard. These were people who were absolute cutthroat, the end justified the means, wicked people. And they have just arrested Peter and John. Peter and John well know that what they did to kill Jesus, they could easily do to them. Now, before the resurrection, before Jesus rebuked them, before he had appeared to them, before he sent the Holy Spirit to them, they would have hidden. They didn't want to have anything to do with this. Despite their willing spirits, their flesh was incredibly frail. But after, they knew that if Jesus could be raised from the dead on the third day, nobody should be able to scare them. If you want to chop me up with a chainsaw and throw my body parts to all the ends of the earth, Jesus is going to raise me from the dead. Go for it, you losers. Go for it. I'm not afraid of you anymore. This is the reason why I'm not afraid. So they're there boldly, brightest people in the entire kingdom of Israel. Peter, a simple fisherman, basically uneducated, goes before them. They say, we don't want you to speak of this man's name anymore. And Peter says, it is impossible for us not to speak about what we've seen and heard. Jesus risen from the dead was a secret they couldn't hold to themselves. They needed to tell others. They were impelled to tell others. Jesus had commanded them to go to the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature at the end of the day's gospel. But even if he hadn't said that command, they would have had to have done it anyway. How could they keep that news to themselves? unless they were just sadists wanting other people to die drowned in their own emotional and spiritual vomit. They had been sent out with the cure for everything that ultimately ails people. How could they keep that to themselves? It's impossible for us not to speak about what we've seen and heard. But on the other, you see that real hardness of heart. Even after the soldiers, they had gotten Pilate to put at Jesus' tomb, had come back to them and told them the events of Easter Sunday, that there was this spark of life, that the stone at the tomb was rolled by itself, that there were these dazzling angels keeping watch, that they saw Jesus walk out of that tomb naked and looking different. They didn't even believe those soldiers, as if those soldiers would make up that tale. You know, in that great parable that Jesus talked about sins of omission, the rich man and Lazarus, you remember it. It's the only parable in which Jesus gives the name of somebody in a parable. And you remember what happened. The rich man who had neglected Lazarus at his gate, and he's suffering in flames and suffering from torments, begs Father Abraham to send Lazarus back to his brothers to warn them so that they don't experience the same fate. And Abraham says, they've got Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, the rich man says, because they've been blowing off Moses and the prophets just like he had. But if a man rises from the dead and goes to them, then they will believe. And Abraham says, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, then neither will they believe if someone should return to them from the dead. Why do we have that name? Because right before Holy Week, what does Jesus do? He goes to Bethany and he raises a man named Lazarus from the dead on the fourth day, well past the time any resurrection could occur. And Lazarus comes from the dead, and rather than to believe the witness of Lazarus, same people who were trying to murder Jesus were trying to murder Lazarus to extinguish the evidence. They didn't want to believe even if someone should rise from the dead, because their hearts were so hardened. What about us? Jesus has returned from the dead to raise us from the dead. Do we experience that new life? Do we live it? Because if we do, then we will be able to say, it's impossible for me not to share this joy with others. I would die. Woe to me, as St. Paul would say, unless I proclaim the gospel. And if that's not our attitude, it points to us to those parts of our heart that are still hardened, those aspects of our life that are still dead, wrapped up in the tomb. Today Jesus wants to feed us with Himself. He wants to place His risen body within us, to raise us from the dead from the inside out. He wants to totally transform us. Pope Benedict used to describe what's supposed to happen in our reception of the Holy Eucharist. It's a nuclear explosion where we receive in almost Jesus as a nuclear bomb within that then detonates and forms a mushroom cloud that starts to go throughout all our body parts and then blows out from within us so that that risen life, that joy starts to flow to everybody else. That's what's supposed to happen here. Let's ask the Lord for the grace of cooperation, that we might not put up any stones, any obstacles, so that having been transformed by His risen life here, we might then go out and proclaim the gospel to every creature, beginning with our family members, those in our neighborhood, our fellow parishioners, our social circles, and beyond. It is impossible for us to keep within what Jesus has placed within. Praise be Jesus Christ. No.